Cherries. Friggin' cherries in June. Cherries in June are what I think epitomises everything that is wrong about our modern society and the way we move things around that are inappropriate. How dare we get friggin' cherries in June in Australia? Cherries are a Christmas food. Cherries are around in November and December. If we have cherries in June, they have come from California. They cost $10 a kilo, which is the same as what we pay in summer, and they're shipped all the way from friggin' California to Australia. How many miles are put on those cherries? How much carbon is pumped into the atmosphere? And what's more, cherries are juicy and succulent and vibrant and fresh and suitable for summer. They're not suitable for winter. Winter is when you do the more substantial foods, the things like pumpkin and potato and squash, stews, slow-cooked foods, not salads and mangoes and all those fresh stone fruits. That's a summer food. We're in friggin' winter. That, my friends, is the essence of macrobiotics. Eat what's local, eat what's in season, and eat what's fresh. It's good for the environment, it's good philosophically when you think about macrobiotics, and it's good for you. And that's one of the reasons why I don't eat pork. On a previous episode here on... Episode, isn't that funny? Yeah, previously here on Audioboo, I talked about how I don't eat pork. And that's one of the reasons why I don't eat pork. I don't think it works. And I really dig the philosophy that is behind macrobiotics. Now, a lot of people get really cut up about macrobiotics. They think it's some sort of woo-woo fancy diet thing that you go on, and it's all about eating brown rice and nothing else. It's quite incorrect. It's not even a diet. It's actually a philosophy. And before you get really hung up on the term philosophy, there's nothing special about it. All it means is we, in attempting to live our lives, our nature is to stay in harmony, to walk the centre line. And if we do something in our life that kicks us left or right of that centre path, we naturally desire to get back towards centre. So if it's a hot day, you'll drink water. If it's middle of summer, you'll eat fresh salads and fruits. If it's the middle of winter, you'll rug up with clothes and you'll eat heavier foods. If you're pregnant, you're going to be eating different foods and doing different things and exercising in different ways to when you're not pregnant. If you smoke, you're going to have to adjust the parts of your life to accommodate the fact that you're taking certain chemicals into your body. If you abuse your body long term, whether it be through not enough sleep, too much exercise or not enough exercise, working too hard, living a life in any way unbalanced, or eating really shitty food, your body will try to adjust. And if it doesn't adjust, it gets sick. That's all macrobiotics is. If you live in a climate at high altitude, you're going to eat different foods and you're going to live a different style to if you live at sea level. Can you imagine eating nothing but a meat diet? No vegetables, none at all. And if you're listening to this, chances are, if you were to eat that, you'd probably get very, very sick. But the Inuits in far northern Alaska, traditionally that's what they ate. Nothing but a meat diet. Now, how could that work? It's quite simple. They live in an ice environment. Living in an ice environment requires that they eat a type of food that is very strong in the other direction. This all comes out of Taoism. You know, if you're in an extremely yin environment, you eat a very yang food a lot. It's entirely appropriate, and that's why we adjust our lifestyle and our diet depending on our situation. And that takes me back to pork, because here in Australia, we're in a very different continent to a lot of other parts of the world. We shouldn't be necessarily eating the same foods as what Europe eats. And for that reason, I mentioned in that previous audioboo, I thought I'd mention to you the sort of meat I do eat. Now, I don't eat a lot of meat in my diet. I tend to be primarily vegetarian, but I'm not a vegetarian. I do eat meat. I do eat a little bit of fish, a little bit of chicken, and I eat a fair bit of our national emblem. If you look at the Australian coat of arms, there are two animals on it. And they're both on there because neither of them can walk backwards, because Australia is always striving forward, they say. Yes. So neither the emu nor the kangaroo can walk backwards. And for the last probably 15 years since it became commercially available, I've been eating kangaroo. Now, for the overseas listeners, kangaroo is a pretty exotic sort of food. Frankly, for a lot of Australians, it's exotic. Most people are pretty hung up about it. They still struggle to get their head around the idea, and they prefer the idea of eating lamb, chicken, or beef. But kangaroo's an excellent food, and it's good for several reasons. It's very low in fat. Like, it's so low in fat, you have to add oil or fat to it to cook it, or else it can end up a little bit dry. You have to be very careful how you cook it. It cooks very quickly, so you've got to cook it rare, if not leaving a little bit raw in the centre, and allow that to finish cooking on your plate. It's very much like beef. It doesn't have a gamey taste to my palate, and it's exceptionally good for you. High in protein, of course, low in fat, just really, really good food. The reason I like it, though, going back to the whole macrobiotics thing, is it's entirely appropriate. There's been huge damage done to the Australian soils, which are very, very fragile. Australia is the oldest continent in the world. It's got some of the most fragile soils in the world. And then we bring all these hard-hooved animals over from Europe, things like goats, sheep, cows, and they trot around on the ground with their hard hooves and they chop it all up. It's done a terrible amount of damage. And some of the countryside comes back no worries from it, but you know, some of it really suffers. Whereas kangaroos are native, and we can harvest them without any real problem. Bill Mollison, who actually came up with the idea of organic permaculture, did a survey in Tasmania, and he said it's possible to remove kangaroos from the wild and have zero impact on their populations. And you sort of think, how can you have zero? If you remove the bucks, there are still plenty of bucks to mate with the does for the next generation. So it's possible to remove kangaroos from the breeding, from the wild stock, and have zero impact on their populations. They're a soft-footed animal. The meat is wonderful. They're native to our country. We live in the country. Macrobiotically, that works very well. They're a wild animal. You cannot farm them. People have played around the edges of trying to farm them, and they just can't. So the government supplies a certain number of licenses, tags they call them, for shooters to go out and harvest the kangaroos from the wild stock. When I was a kid, kangaroo meat was only ever used as pet food, and it's still available as pet food. But in recent years, they've actually been moving into the human market, human consumption market. And it's going very well, and I think people are becoming more and more educated to it, and it's easy enough to buy in the supermarket now. Also, and this is something I've only just started thinking about, and it was because of that boo I did the other day about pork and how similar pigs are to us. When you consider kangaroo, it's actually further away from us in the whole evolution thing than what cattle and sheep are. Cattle and sheep, pigs, goats are all mammals, as we are. Chickens, fish, and kangaroos aren't. Kangaroos are marsupials. They're not mammals. They're a type of mammal, yes, but they're a more primitive type of mammal. They're a marsupial. And I think there might be something in the idea of consuming meat products that are a little bit away from us. Maybe it's no big deal. Again, you know, hey, I'll chew on your leg if absolutely necessary, but it's probably best to eat from things that are a little bit further away from us. And a marsupial is maybe a little bit better than another mammal. It's just another point. I've got some kangaroo that I'm going to cook into a curry tonight, as a matter of fact. And the way I'll be dealing with it is exactly the same way as I would if I was dealing with beef. I'll just chop it up, quickly brown it in the pan, pull it out, put all the other ingredients into the curry, make it up, and then return it to the source. It's a magnificent product. Wherever you are, if you haven't tried it, and you've got a chance to get hold of some kangaroo, it's well worth the experience. It's a tremendous meat, and it's entirely appropriate, particularly for we Australians living in this country where it's our native food. And being a wild food, it has all the advantages of wild food over domesticated food. Wonderful product. Good old Skippy. Gotta love him, especially in a curry.